morning to you. This is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Kuchenberger.
I am here.
It's good that you're here. It's a great Saturday morning. We hope you're doing well out there at the end of January.
I know. You know, it's almost Valentine's Day. I'm such a holiday fan.
You are just a look forward all the time kind of person.
You know why I like Valentine's Day? Have I ever told you about my first Valentine's Day with my husband?
I think you did, but remind me.
I probably, chances are, I haven't told all the listeners. So
yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, we actually met about a month after Valentine's Day in March. And one night, I just made, like, this little, like, comment, like...
We have had this conversation.
Where the heck were you last month when I was all by myself, all those girls getting all those cool things, and I was, like, you know, not having anything. So the next day, every hour on the hour, he had sent to me a dozen roses.
That was me choking there for a minute.
And did you throw up in your mouth?
Yeah, I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
The first card said, Happy Valentine's Day, and it was like March 9th or something. The next card, Happy Valentine's Day. It's just, you know, it put a warm feeling in my heart, and now I like that holiday, Hallmark or not.
I did throw up a little bit in the back of my mouth, but there is something to be said for that. I mean, being extravagant. You know,
it
obviously made an impression.
That big gesture, it worked out in his favor this time.
Yes, absolutely.
I think so, too. And I also, in Mexico, we call it the Day of Love and Friendship. It's not called Valentine's Day. It's Dia de Amor y Amistad.
That sounds good.
So
whatever that is.
Your amistad is your friends. And I, you know, like, people really go out of the way on that day to make a big deal about your friends. So I'm kind of thinking we should bring that down here to the U.S. of A.
Or up here to the U.S. of A, yeah.
And encourage people to, you know, love on your friends and your loved ones.
You know, there is something about that sort of, and we're going to be talking about Bob Goff today. There's something whimsical.
Love does.
We're going to be talking about about whimsical things, and that's a whimsical thing that he did.
Glorious.
You know, just like this over-the-top thing. I was at a Christmas party, and there's a band there. It was a kind of a big Christmas party, and there was a woman who was just dancing like there was no one around.
I love that.
You know, I mean, just like, and there's part of me that just says, would that woman just rein it in a little bit?
No.
But there's this other part of me that says, I wish I was that free.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Did
you see me there? Just kidding.
You were there.
Oh, but I was not dancing
like
that.
You were there. And it's the kind of thing, I just got to get over this deal. So this quote-unquote Christmas party we went to.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a big deal in Cincinnati.
Yes.
There's a family in town that hosts a gigantic Christmas party for all of their employees, about, I don't know, 8 or 10,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this huge deal.
And Tim McGraw
was the act. You know, it's at Music Hall and all that kind of stuff. And I told my wife...
Yes.
This is where this part, whimsical part of me loses to the practical part of me every time. So I told my wife, I say, if he plays Live Like You Were Dying, I'm going to stand up. Because at this Christmas party, unlike a concert, everybody's kind of...
Fancy.
Kind of fancy. And so they sit in their seats, and when the song is done, they clap.
Especially
and
not
whistle.
not a typical country.
It's not like a typical, like, you're singing and dancing in the aisles thing. So I was like, if he sings this song, I'm going to stand up. I'll be the only person here standing up. And, you know.
I didn't see you stand up.
I didn't stand up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So he started playing the song, and I was just like, I don't want to draw attention to myself. I don't want to be, you know, embarrassing or embarrass the people around me. Or, but there was this.
Inside of you,
there's this deal. And so when I see this woman dancing, it's like, gosh, there's something about me that wishes that I would just stop worrying and be a little whimsical. And so Bob Goff's going to talk about that today.
He is.
And talk about a whimsical guy. I mean, this guy's entire life is one whimsical story after another.
I do like him. His business card reads helper instead of attorney at law, and he's just fun. The Tim McGraw concert, I said this is the only concert that I didn't know any of the words of the songs before I got there, and I sang along with every song. Like, it's just, they're catchy songs. Yeah. You can figure it out quickly and then just sing loud.
Tim McGraw is one of my favorites, so I was very glad to see him.
Like that.
As compared to the people who sitting around me who just were upset that it was loud.
Oh, I'm so sure.
Could someone turn this down? It's a Christmas party.
I kind of giggled because he sang Away in a Manger every verse, and maybe mixed a few of the verses
up. Yeah.
But he was Tim McGraw, so it sounded good.
And he said he had never had a chance to sing Christmas music at a concert. This was his first time ever, and so there's something sweet about
his effort.
He and his band saying, hey, we're really looking forward to it. So he sang a couple Christmas songs, and it was good. They had a new Christmas song out, really kind of a cool song.
Mary and Joseph.
So it was a good night, and, you know, a good time had by all.
And so now heading into February, I mean, do people do Valentine's Day concerts? I think that we should.
We should.
Let's host a Valentine's Day concert.
All right. Who should we invite? Who would you invite? That's a good question. If you were hosting a Valentine's concert, Okay. Well, we'll write Bono.
Are you listening, Bono?
Yeah, Bono's
would
listening
you
to our show.
Come.
Can you imagine Bono on the air? That would be awesome.
I'm thinking like
show.
Michael Bublé or Norah Jones.
Norah Jones is who I would call.
One of those like very.
Adele.
Yeah,
somebody like that.
Valentine's
Day. The good thing about us is that we have small dreams. So that's a good question. You know, a question for going into Valentine's Day for our listeners. If they could host like a Valentine's party with their friends, it wouldn't have to be huge, but they could get anybody they wanted to sort of like be the entertainment. That'd be an interesting conversation.
I've always said strange things on Valentine's Day. One year I invited all my friends and gave them all blind dates for a Valentine's Day party. I just said, you just have to come. I'm going to set you up once you get there.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
You did this?
I did do this.
Wow.
One year, I did a big, big, fancy dress-up meal, but it was for breakfast. So everybody came really, really dressed up for breakfast, and we did a Valentine's Day breakfast party. I just kind of, you know.
That's what I'm telling you about. You have more ideas than any person on the planet. Right, it's crazy.
Right.
Who thinks of having a dress-up Valentine's breakfast party? Who thinks of that? Not only did you think about it, but then you pulled it off. Who does that? Who arranges for Valentine's Day blind dates for all their friends and just tells them to show up? And then on top of that, they did. They showed up. That's crazy. I love it.
Have you ever done one of those murder mystery parties? We did those one year.
You're talking to me. I don't do, you know.
My life
is relatively boring. My idea of excitement.
You buy those in a box. That's not that hard.
I would like to have a karaoke party.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I think that would be fun.
There would be one rule. I've actually talked about this, and some people are like, yes, there's only one rule at my karaoke. Well, actually two. Everybody has to sing. That's rule number one.
Whew.
Rule number two is that everybody who's watching has to go wildly excited like it's the best song they've ever heard.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I just read in USA Today on the airplane last week that if at a karaoke party, rule number one to them, the USA Today people...
They actually had this in the paper?
Please pick a song that you don't have an emotional attachment to, because no one wants to see you break down in the middle of your song. So, like, pick a song that you just...
I don't even care about that. That's not a rule at my karaoke party.
Okay, I could sing, like, The Wind Beneath My Wings.
You could
think about my best friend.
You would have
to
sing,
cry.
And whether you cried or not, when you were done, we would go wild. Like, it was the greatest thing we've ever heard. It wouldn't matter if you could sing.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter if you're good.
Uh-huh.
If you are or not, it doesn't matter. When you're done, we are going nuts.
I love that.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That's
somewhat whimsical.
One time we did this one of those parties, and we had to dress up, and you get assigned like a character, so I got assigned this like lounge singer, and my husband was like my manager. So
that's fun.
He wore a blazer with no shirt on and tons of gold jewelry, and I looked,
he has absolutely
like
zero
I
chest
don't look normally. I was not dressed like a missionary. In the middle of the party, our son fell in another spot on campus and got hurt. Ended up needing about 40 stitches.
Oh,
so
my.
We stopped thinking. We got to him. We got called to where he was.
Oh, my gosh. You went to the hospital or whatever.
Drenched in blood in these outfits. So we walk into the emergency room, and we look down. I worked in the streets. My husband had no shirt. We were covered in blood.
That is
and
hilarious.
And, you know, it's a foreign country, so they're looking at us like, and how do you know the child?
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
They're very responsible.
That's
adults.
A beautiful story.
Yeah.
Well,
stick around, listeners.
We got some great stories today. I guarantee you, you do not want to leave. Bob Goff is going to be with us right after the break. He is the author of Love Does, which I think is at the top of the bestseller list
right now.
Absolutely. He is a guy whose life is one great story after another. So it should be a great hour of radio. If it hasn't been already, I don't know if it has been already, but it will definitely
continue on.
Keep on. Join us right after the break. This is Real Life, Real Talk, and we will see you in just a minute.
He found shelter under the rock and lay there, looking at the stars. God, do you remember me? In Tales of the Not Forgotten by Beth Guckenberger, Joel dares to ask for what he can't have. Serafina sacrifices what she can't afford to give. Abram looks for an answer buried out of reach, and Christina, saved by a mission, searches for her own. Follow these life-changing stories as they take you on a journey to faraway lands and unfamiliar faces. Travel through their challenges and see the hand of the great story weaver writing endings you'd never imagine. These are the tales of the ones the world doesn't see, tales of the not forgotten. In Tales of the Not Forgotten, learn how God is the great story weaver, weaving the threads of our lives into a strong and beautiful sign of His love. Check out Tales of the Not Forgotten book and missions materials by Beth Guckenberger. For more information or to purchase, go to your local Christian supplier or visit standardpub.com. See lives transformed.
Real Talk. We hope you're having a great Saturday morning, wherever you happen to be this Saturday.
That's right.
And, man, we got a... What a great show. I mean,
we've already been talking about stories. We've been talking about whimsical stories, stories that you weren't ever planning on. And it's the perfect build-up and set-up for today's guest.
That's exactly right. And Bob Goff is our guest today. He is the New York Times best-selling author of Love Does. And hopefully, if you haven't gotten the book already, you will get it very soon.
I think it's a nice Valentine's Day present. It's got love in the title. People should be buying this for the ones that they love. Continue on with that theme from the first segment.
It could be. You know, something that most people might not know about Bob, he also founded Restore International, which is a nonprofit human rights organization that operates in Uganda and India. I hope we'll have some time today also to talk about that. But, Bob, welcome to the show. We're glad that you could come on with us.
Hey, thanks a million. Good to be on with you.
Great.
Bob, I've just finished reading your book, and I just have to tell you, first of all, I had it recommended to me, you know, a dozen more times. So I already knew people that know me knew that I would love and resonate with the material, but there's not a lot of books you read all the way to the end these days. And I want to start off by saying that I appreciated every page of it and the message that you communicated so clearly.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. That was a lot of fun to write. I got a call from Thomas Nelson, and they asked if I'd write a book, and I said, I don't know, will you build a school? How big's the school? And I said, 260 child soldiers and 40 teachers up in northern Uganda. And they said, big school? And I said, big book, right? So they paid me in advance, which was so cool because I'm a lawyer, right? And so
yeah.
I built the whole school before it even came out, and then it hit the Times for 7 weeks, and so we've got 9 more buildings going in because folks like you and others have bought the book, and it's been a lot of fun.
Wow, what a great story. And so before we get into the heart of the book, I'd love to know some more, and I'd love for our listeners to know more about Restore International. Tell us a little bit about how it got started and sort of the mission.
You bet. I started perhaps 9 years ago or 10 years ago. Actually, everyone that I wanted to work with to help, just like, you know, you and your listeners, everybody wants to find a place to plug in. And everybody I asked if I could work with them, they all said no. So I thought, well, why don't we just go do our own thing? And I, in one of these trips that I talked about in the book where our kids went around and we met with leaders from different countries, we ended up in India. And I saw these kids that were bought and sold. Like, you know, just chattels. And so I just thought we were going to not, you know, just agree or find out information about this. We're just going to do something. So these little girls that are bought and sold into these brothels that were the age of my daughter, we just started going into brothels and finding these little kids and then prosecuting the bad guys. And we arrayed a bunch of Indian investigators and we started there, then it expanded to Uganda. They had some of the same problems, and then more because they've been in this 25-year civil war. And so from that, we started a school. We started prosecuting cases in their legal system, finding kids that were in jails without having stepped foot in a courtroom for 3 years. Isn't that crazy? You could have a young man who's 15 years old, taken to jail on an accusation. And then 3 years later, he's still sitting in that jail cell, and he's never stepped foot in a court. So we tried the first 100 cases of these kids we found, and we dropped off 98 kids at home with all the charges resolved. And that just took me, kind of wrecked my career, because I was thinking, all I want to do is this. That idea of just like I don't know if either of you ever been stalked. It'd be kind of hard to tell if they were any good at it, right? They'd find out all the things about you, right? It'd be kind of creepy, too. But, like, yeah. I realized, like, I'm a lawyer, and I'm great at memorizing stuff, and I realized I was finding out all this information about Jesus and about how much he's nuts about kids, but I wasn't doing anything. I was like a stalker. I think I was creeping both of us out. So we just decided to just, like, let me just go do stuff. So that's what the whole idea of Restore International is, just go do stuff. Because God's nuts about kids. He loves justice. Didn't think much about lawyers, but he loves kids and he's nuts about justice. So I'm in a pretty big hole as a lawyer.
When you sit down to write a book like Love Does, which is a series of just really compelling, great stories, did you have a certain expectation? It sounds like it's gone beyond what you might have thought your original expectation was. But did you have any expectations when you started and sit down to write the book?
Yeah, you know what? My hope is that I could write a book for my great-grandchildren, you know? And let's say one of my kids will go out on a date or something, I know I'm not going to, like, meet him. So I want to let him know just how good God is. And there's some really smart people that are saying, you know, there's no hell or there's no heaven or whatever. I just wanted us to all just take a break, catch our breath, put some balloons on the cover of a book, and then just remember how good God is. And so I know you guys wouldn't even talk to me if you knew how ridiculous I looked. I've got this Indiana Jones hat. And so sweet Maria Goff would know I'm not just returning emails at night. I'm actually sitting down and writing this book. So I put this Indiana Jones hat on, and I look ridiculous. And she used to write these beautiful Bible verses up on the chalkboard in the kitchen. But after 7 months of me wearing my stupid hat, she erased all that, and every morning she'd just write, "Finish it." So just 2 weeks ago, which was so cute, I came home from work, and sitting in my favorite chair, she put the hat out again, and with a little note saying, "Start it." And then the next day, it was in the refrigerator, and the next day, it was in the shower. And so I'm just back at it. Every night, just if I come to mind, picture me wearing my stupid hat and just writing about how good God is and just how nuts he is about us. And man, he just takes our failures and just sweet stuff. So the book is just a like these little vignettes, and hopefully people don't see me. They'll see a story or something, but we look right through that, and we see our own stuff, and we just see a really caring God who's just nuts about us and wants us to be ones that think of him in the same way as a really caring father.
I love that. The listeners know that I call God our story weaver. I have for a long, long time, and I'm always saying that I think that looking for a story, it's kind of like a muscle. You know, the more you exercise it, the more you see story, and everything from the exchange with the grocery store clerk to the plan B that inevitably happens throughout your day. And I can tell very much from reading your story that you have that lens that interactions and people are not chance encounters, but they're stories waiting to be heard and told and experienced and learned from. And were you always that way? Do you remember being that way at younger, or was there any kind of like inciting incident that pivoted you into being a story watcher?
One of the things that is probably true of the three of us is that we love people, and the same is true of most of the folks that are listening. We just love people, and so being interested in and being available to that. I'll give you an example. When I finished the whole book, I asked Thomas Nelson, could I put my cell phone number on the last page of the book?
And they said, we wondered about that.
Yeah, isn't that great? So I put the number. There's 150,000 people that have my cell phone. And what my aim is, unless I'm talking to sweet Maria or if there's somebody that has something really pretty urgent going on, I just don't let people go to voicemail. It's great. I probably get 30 or 40 calls a day. I can't get anything done. I love it. And so what we do is, like, you get these calls from people who are in just different places in life, and they want to talk. Have you guys ever gotten a voicemail message that's like 4 minutes and 30 seconds long, and you listen to it, and you're thinking to yourself, buddy, get to the point, right?
Yeah.
What if
yeah.
God starts screening my calls? And he says, like, buddy, get to the point. And then I, like, there's no point. I just wanted to talk to him. And, like, that's mm-hmm. what I'm learning, like, being available. And from that, a lot of stories just emerge. And the coolest part is they're not about me. They're, like, stories
yeah.
about people and what they're learning. And, and we keep saying we're, you know, a family. And I just love acting like a family. And I wouldn't screen mm-hmm. my mom's calls. If she called, I'd answer, right? And so just because you haven't met somebody yet, just knowing that we're in the same family. And in the same way, I won't shake hands with anybody. I can't think of a single time in the Bible that Jesus shook hands. He probably did. It doesn't matter. I'm not. Because this isn't a business trip. Like, I want to treat people like we're family. And if we did that, every once in a while, you'll have something wonky happen, right? You've had it. I've had it. And we get to decide. Do we want to, like, be fearful and protect ourselves from another wonky thing happening? Or do you want to just love people and just assume that they've got terrific stuff going on? Even the wonky people, like, it's just something they had a tough day. That wasn't their best version of them just yet. But even that, I want to be available to that because I can learn about kindness and compassion and all that. So anyway, like this, in answer to your question, like, leave it to a lawyer to go a long way around the bush. I love the idea of story, yeah, because they keep track of our time by 6 minute increments. Like, but I just want to learn the things, and it said in Matthew 15, it said Jesus never talked to anybody without telling him a story. And I love that. I used to think he just had six favorites, like, kind of like weed, it's kind of like birds, it's kind of like flowers. But instead, I can just see there's just, that's how I'd learn from you. If it's a bunch of facts, I'll agree with you. If it's a story, I'll know you.
I wonder, there must have been somebody maybe there wasn't, but how did you learn to do this so well? I mean, you're just a great storyteller. Were there storytellers in your life that modeled this, or you said, gosh, that's somebody that I would want to listen to?
Oh, there's a great guy that sprang to mind when you said that, Don Miller. And have you guys run across him? He's a terrific guy.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we were first introduced to at least I was first introduced by reading his book, A Thousand Miles, A Million Years book, that where he talks about his encounter with you.
Isn't he? He's just such a great guy. By the way, I didn't find out he wrote about any of that until the book was out on the shelf. He gave me this book and said, "You're going to probably get some calls." I'm like, "About what? Why did you read the book?" But you know, when I was writing Love Does, I would finish a chapter, I'd send it to Don, and he'd always say one of two things. He'd either say, like, finale, like, that's him, and that's in the book. Or he would say, Maria's going to love that chapter. You should definitely give it to her, which means he hated it.
No way.
But he never said anything negative. And as a matter of fact, he gave me a dozen presents when I started this project, really at his prompting, and he said, Bob, this is going to be the loneliest thing you ever do in your life. I'm like, oh, my gosh. He said, you're such a people guy, and you're going to have to sit in a chair. He didn't know about the stupid hat, but you're going to have to sit in a chair for just hours and hours and hours. So he gave me presents to open along the way, just to encourage me. And the last present he gave me when I was supposed to open it when the book arrived on the porch, and it was a medal. And it just said courageous on it. And he wrote me this really long handwritten letter. And the last words in it said, Bob, you're an author. And there's something about the words that a good friend speaks to you that just land. And makes me think how you have the ability to do that with your radio show. And if I have the ability to do that, that people that are within our blast radius, that we're just, like, loving on them. And not just blowing sunshine at them, but just, like, words that mean something. Bob, you're an author. And that landed with me.
Hey, are you able to join us after the break?
You betcha. I'm in.
Oh, great. Well, we'll be back in just a minute. We're talking to Bob Goff, the author of Love Does. And this is Real Life, Real Talk. And we'll be back in just a minute. So don't go away.
have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care, assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Visiting Angels has over 400 franchised locations across the nation. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours a day. Rates are affordable, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has cared for hundreds of thousands of seniors nationwide. Franchises are available. Call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels now at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care at 877-374-LIVE.
Energy, immunity, vitality. We all want it. Hi, I'm Mike Buck for Nature Bee Plant Pollen. It's the answer. Try the Health Wonder from Down Under. Easy to digest because of our proprietary potentiation process. Broken cell wall technology makes it bioavailable so it goes buzzing right into your body. Stay mentally sharp. Meet the demands of the day with Nature Bee. Fresh from the hives in clean green New Zealand. A superfood. Free from petrochemicals, additives, preservatives, fillers, binders, sugar. No gluten, no dairy. Even diabetics can enjoy Nature Bee. Forget the handful of stuff you're taking already. Simple solution, 2 capsules a day of Nature Bee. You call toll-free to New Zealand, get a 6-month supply right now for $99.95 plus delivery. 3 extra months for free with Nature Bee's unconditional money-back guarantee. Come on, healthy goodness, praise in the Bible, 37 cents a day. Toll-free, 1-866-834-8355. Easier yet, collect your Nature Bee online at the website. Nature Bee, that's naturebee.com.
If becoming or staying debt-free is important to you, you're not alone. 10 years ago, I was worried sick, overwhelmed with debt, and so tired of not having enough at the end of the month to make ends meet. I was working a full-time job, but getting deeper in debt every month, and I hated being away from my children. I finally said, that's enough, and I made a decision to do whatever it took to get free from the terrible debt that was causing me so much stress. I'm Gina Neef, and I want to invite you to find the same financial freedom that I found. Not only did I pay my way out of debt, I was also able to leave my corporate job and work from home and be completely available to my family. For years now, I've worked part-time hours, making more than a full-time job would ever pay. I remember the pain of being in over my head, and I'll never forget the joy of becoming debt-free. That's why I show others how to do the same. If you're ready to work from home and find financial freedom, then I'm eager to show you how. Go to findingfreedomnow.com. Discover how you can get free from debt. Go to findingfreedomnow.com.
Mary could get away with being an awful person because she was a killer salesperson. So when Mary leveled outbursts at some poor soul, her bosses just looked away. As for her co-workers, they kept their distance. All but Sandra, who could manage a kind attitude for anyone, Mary included. No real surprise, then, that when Sandra had a personal crisis, who showed up first and helped the most? Right, Mary. Not long after, a new side of Mary emerged at work, too. A better side. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Odd as it seems, the best way to reap kindness, even from rock-hard soil, is to sow kindness in the first place, in the high calling of our daily work.
For more information, visit ourdailywork.org.
Real Talk. I'm Rob Hall along with Beth Kuchenberger, and we are joined today by Bob Goff, New York Times bestselling author of Love Does. And Bob, I was interested, you know, when you put a book together, there must be some momentum that starts. And so when you knew that this book was going to be about stories, and were there a couple of stories that you said, I could start there? I really love those stories a lot.
Yeah, I think the one of the stories I started out with was about a guy named Randy. And I was in high school, and there was this guy milling around the high school, and he looked older than me. I didn't know who he was, but he had a beard, so I figured he was older than a high school guy. And he also had a motorcycle and a girlfriend. I kind of hated him because I wanted a beard and a motorcycle and a girlfriend, right? So,
yeah.
But then I realized he's from this outfit called Young Life, which is kind of, you know, reaches out to high school kids. And I kept mm-hmm. him at arm's length. But he showed up at my, you know, sports games and all that. And I just, school wasn't going all that great, so I decided I was going to drop out and move to Yosemite. And if you looked at me, you'd laugh because you're like, buddy, you cannot make it upstairs, much less a mountain. And I decided I was going to be a mountain climber, right? So I went to Randy's house on a Sunday and knocked on the door, and it was, you know, one couple minutes, but he came to the door and he's kind of groggy. And I said, hey, Randy, I'm going to take this test and, you know, drop out of high school, take this test and move to Yosemite. Did they have that when you were in high school, this DED test? You know, you
sure.
take a test and you get your diploma. Well, I couldn't figure out how to sign up for it, which is an indicator, right?
No, so that's a bad sign.
Randy comes to the door and I told him my plans to leave. And he said, hey, Bob, have you thought about this? When are you going to go? And I said, well, like right now, all my stuff's in the car. And he said, hey, hang on a second. So he disappears for a long couple minutes. When he gets back to the door, he's got his sleeping bag under one arm and his backpack over the other. And he said, hey, I'm with you. Isn't that beautiful? He's just like, I'm with him. Like, really? Like, you'll go to Yosemite with me right now? And he says, yeah, I'll just take a bus back. I'll get you all settled in. So he jumps in the car with me. We go to Yosemite, and my idea totally craters. Nobody wants to hire me because I'm, like, among other things, a high school dropout. And
right.
So after a couple days, we drive back. I just tell Randy, I'm going to finish up school. And so he doesn't give me a big lecture, you know. He just keeps saying the same thing, I'm with you. And when we pull down his street, his girlfriend's over visiting, I guess, and we pull into the driveway. And I kind of walked in behind him because I figured I was invited. And in its living room, there's this old plate and an osterizer and a microwave and some wrapping paper. And it's like, it wasn't his birthday. It wasn't Christmas. And then the nickel dropped. On Saturday, Randy had gotten married. And on
wow.
Sunday, this high school kid shows up on his porch. And he didn't see me as a big interruption to his life. He saw me as a kid that was going to jump the tracks. And he just wanted to be with me. And I think that probably underscores, like, the whole theme of the book is, like, just even during this, you know, different seasons of the year, like, that you get that sense of who's real, like, God with me. Like, that idea of people being with each other, and that's what the book's about, just being, how love doesn't just agree with you, and love doesn't just, like, all this, give you all these words of correction. Instead, just love does stuff. And so for Randy, I can't even imagine that conversation he had in the back room with his new bride. Say, there's a
right.
high school kid here that you and I both know, and he's just going to do something nutty, and I need to be with him. And there's something beautiful about that. And so I think that changed my view of how we care for each other. We don't just give each other, you know, these, hey, good luck with that. We're just with each other. So that really yeah. shapes every part of my world right now, this idea of, like, I have a day job like you guys do. I try to be a pretty good lawyer, but I try to be with people even more. And so I don't make appointments. Can you imagine a lawyer who doesn't make appointments? It's been 2 years. I feel like I'm at an AA meeting. Like, it's been 2 years since my last appointment. I just don't do that. And, like, that idea of then people know they can just come over. And when you're with a friend, you can tell whether they have 2 minutes or 2 hours or 2 days for you. And so people just come by the office, and they just kind of know. Two people have poked their heads in while we've been talking, and they just kind of know I'm tied up, and so I bet they'll come back later. And that kind of idea, that kind of an extravagant love where you just, I don't know, in this reverse economy that's out there, when you are most extravagant with your love, none of it's wasted. If you give it out like you're kind of chintzy with it, and you just give a little bit or let Hallmark do all the talking for you, then it's just like it falls flat. So that's what I've been trying to do. How can we go big with our love? And part of it is just not being afraid anymore. And when we're not afraid of being either rejected or misunderstood or whatever, like in New York a couple weeks ago, like I did these guys, they are not huggers in New York, right? I'm like, you could tell he was not digging at all. And I'm like, whatever, sue me. You know, we're just going to just not be afraid to love each other.
Oh, I love that. You know, my co-host here, Rob, I met him when I was a high school student a decade or two or three ago when... Through Young Life, he led my husband to the Lord, and I love that those relationships formed in that really critical window of time when you're trying to understand how do people think about each other, care about each other, put themselves out and inconvenience themselves one for another. They do make lasting impressions. So I'm with you on one, the power of Young Life relationships, and two, just those kind of bonds don't break. They just don't break.
Yeah, and I think if we do that, it's just contagious. There's a neighbor that lived across the street, and she got sick, and so I used to call her all the time on the telephone just to see how she was doing, and she told me that she has cancer, and I told her, you know, I am never calling you on the phone again, and she looked a little puzzled, but I went to Radio Shack, and I got us two walkie-talkies, and I set up one in her bedroom, and I set one up in our bedroom. And this whole year, we've been just talking on the walkie-talkies. And it's beautiful, because when you're on walkie-talkies, like, nobody's sick. You're, like, 14, and you're up in a tree fort, right? Like, that's
right,
who we want to be. We want to be, like, extravagant in our love. And you know what? When we're on the walkie-talkies, nobody's afraid either. There's just something. So if we can think of 1,000 different unlikely ways to make each other not afraid, if I could say one hope for people, it just it would be not afraid. And that's, you know, all throughout all these documents that make up the Bible, like that was a message to them. Be not afraid. Like whatever their circumstances was, some guys in a boat that were scared to death, it's like, be not afraid. Or a guy that was going to take over for Moses, be not afraid. Or a guy that was going to go into a big battle, like, that's it. And so people that are courageous, they're just people who aren't afraid anymore. I've got this red shirt. Maria tells me it reads pink, and I'm not going to wear a pink shirt, so I don't wear it. But it's a red shirt, right? But
yeah.
Like people who are courageous, it reads courage, but it's actually people that just aren't afraid anymore. And so if the three of us aren't afraid and we're with people and we just let them know we're not afraid, then they won't be afraid either. It's kind of cool.
You know, right before the radio show, Rob and I were talking about just a couple of mutual friends we have that are struggling in their marital relationships, and that just the beautiful reality that love does cover a multitude of sins, that love really does fill a whole room. And anyway, I so appreciate the way you referenced your wife and bring her into all your stories. And so I'm just curious for our listeners, what are some of the things that you and your wife do to make sure love stays at the center of your relationship and not expectations and not fear and not any of those things?
Hey, I'll tell you one thing. That'd be horrible. If I wrote a marriage book, it would be called Don't Talk About Stuff. Deal. Don't get me wrong. Because I'm a lawyer, I can't talk about, you know, things professionally because it's all attorney-client stuff. And then if it's like a conversation with someone personally, I'm not going to talk about that because it's just between us. So when I come home, we have a piano in our living room, and I just play her how my day was. Isn't that great? So if it was a really good day, I'm on the white keys, and I'm not very good. I'm probably about as good as the two of you. Like, I just play. I make up a song and play it on the white keys if it's kind of a good day. And if it's kind of a bad day, it's like, you know, one of those minor, like, on the black keys. If it's a really bad day, it just makes fists and I just pound on the keys. But, like, there's something beautiful about Sweet Maria. Then she'll just say, hey, tell me more about your day, which means, like, play me another song. And so we get to come up with new ways to communicate with each other that are beautiful, that reflect who we are. And if, you know, like, if piano isn't your thing, buy a cello, you know? And like, I have one in here. I'm looking at it in my office because Maria's got this song she thinks swell on the cello. So I've been learning on YouTube, like, from this guy how to play the cello, right? You know, when they see people sometimes look like their dogs, this dude, I kid you not, he looks like a cello. And so he teaches me at the end of the day, and I'm, like, learning this song. And then I just surprise her with it. And I
think
that kind of idea of, like, love is just spontaneous that way. That's what I want.
Well, I hope we're going to be on a one-minute break. I hope you can join us after the break. We just want to know how we can get the book, how we can get in touch with Restore International. So this is Real Life, Real Talk. I'm Rob. with Beth. We're talking with Bob Goff. We'll be back in just a minute.
Last October, I went on a back-to-back mission trip to Nigeria, where I had a chance to meet the boy I sponsored through back-to-back. The moment I met him, it became real that Jeremiah was not just a boy in a picture. He was a boy with dreams, hopes, and a story just like my own kids. At that moment, I saw how back-to-back is changing the lives of orphans around the world. I realized that in the same way I'm here for my children to be part of their stories, I can also be part of Jeremiah's. In the same way that my children can be a brother or sister to each other, they can care for Jeremiah. They can write him letters and share their stories as they grow up. We can help him to receive an education and food to fill his stomach. But more importantly, we can be involved in his life and encourage him to follow his dreams. I learned that sponsoring a child through back-to-back is not just about financial support for an orphan. It is about allowing God to intertwine your story and your heart with a child in need. For more information on sponsoring an orphan like Jeremiah through back-to-back, contact 513-754-0300 or email at childsponsorship@back2back.org.
Real Talk. We are so glad that you're joining us here on this Saturday morning. Hey, I want to remind people, we've had over 500,000 people download the show in less than a year. And if you'd like to do that, BethKuchenberger.com is the place to go for now to do that. So I don't know why you wouldn't want to download this show. I mean,
We just got some great marriage advice. Learn the cello on YouTube for your wife. I mean, that alone is worth the hour.
I was thinking more inspirational, like how to love better, to feel less, all those kind of things.
Yes,
Bob Goff has joined us today. He is the best-selling author of Love Does. And, Bob, I didn't want you to get away without at least being able to tell people where they can get the book and also how to connect with Restore International.
Oh, that is so nice. Thanks again for having me on. I had a terrific time. And
thank you.
I'm so thankful for what you're doing and for what the people that are listening. You're out there just loving people in practical and impractical ways, hopefully impractical ones. Love Does is, Amazon, Christian bookstores, Barnes & Noble, like all of those. And then you can reach Restore International. It's just www.restoreinternational.org. And so we're just trying to do some stuff, but it's just great being in a family together. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a sentence for us about the project you're working on right now. You got the hat on. What is it that is inspiring you tonight to write, do you think?
Oh, Be Not Afraid. We brought Uganda's first witch doctor to trial for trafficking in a little boy, and we got Uganda's first conviction this year. And so we're going to talk about that. So we've been meeting with good guys and bad guys, and that idea of be not afraid, and talking about this little boy and what he has taught me along the way about that. This 8-year-old that just says he loves God and loves people, and he just wasn't afraid, even in a pretty crummy circumstance. So I'm having a ball writing this book.
This is my day job, is that I work with orphans around the world and live internationally myself. And I think that bad guys are just unloved little children. You know, they're not really bad guys. They just grew up and no one ever did any love doing on them. And they don't really understand that their actions are hurting others because nobody taught them any differently. So I like that you're getting out there in the middle of those storylines, because I've seen so much beautiful redemption through loving the bad guys as well as the good guys.
Agreed. We've been, what's been nuts, and I know we're short on time, but we've been sending out the word on the Bush radio for all the witch doctors to get together.
Yeah.
I bet I've met with 400 of them, and your words are so true, just to say, man, this stuff, never again. But to just encounter them instead of tough talk, like loving people extravagantly.
Oh, yeah, it's the most powerful weapon. I mean, absolutely, been in the middle of situations where I should have felt wildly threatened, but the truth of the matter is I was fully protected because of the Lord that was with me, of course, but just love does absolutely change the atmosphere. And so, anyway, we so appreciate what you're doing. Want to continue to get the word out for you. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks a million. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Blessings to you. Bob Goff. Bob Goff on our show.
I do like
Love
that.
Love Does. And what a great storyteller. Just seems like he's such a genuine, heartfelt guy out there changing the world where he can change it.
I think he'd be a good big brother.
I'm sure he would be.
Do you think he'd be up for that? I mean, I think he'd be the kind of person that you would just want to have on your speed dial. Like, what are you doing today? Because I just kind of want to join you.
Yeah. Well, the idea that he doesn't have appointments is pretty amazing, just like that. Just that you could just show up.
Every day is an opportunity.
You just show up and like, hey, Bob, I got some thoughts. And he's like, hey, sure.
I think that sounds like a lovely way to live.
Pretty amazing. Just so different than the way that you and I, well,
most
that
of
I live.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but certainly different. So you can't help but be inspired
mm-hmm.
by this idea that I'm going to make myself more and more available to love people and do things and, you know, not let my schedule get in the way of that.
And that the story isn't for other people to be have and for you to retell. The story might be for you to be right smack dab in the middle of it.
That seems to be his deal, is it's just it's just stories. It's not like, then I'll make this happen and that happen. He's just living, doing his thing, and stories come out of that.
What do you think about this idea of do not be afraid? Because that is, I mean, like, when you find yourself in a storyline that's not going the way you want to, do you feel like the oppositional force is fear?
Sure.
That's a deep question.
Yeah, geez, golly. Segment four is always like you with these deep,
Dr. Hall.
These deep questions
would
about things.
Would you please
things.
Lay down on the couch?
Jeez. You know, I guess the thought I have about that is that we're constantly bombarded with reasons to be afraid.
Mm.
If you watch the news or stories or whatever, I mean, you know, there's been some biggies lately, you know, about things that should make us afraid. So it is hard work to say, I will not be afraid, and I'm just going to move with confidence and with love to overcome that.
Because I think fear is what, like, if you're afraid of something, you kind of draw a line and stay inside it, right?
Yeah.
Like you say, like, I'm afraid I don't have anything in common with you. I don't want to talk to you. I'm afraid I don't have anything to offer you. I'm afraid you might hurt me. I'm afraid you might disappoint me. I'm afraid I might disappoint you.
Right.
You're afraid of all those things, so you just draw a line, and then you stay inside of the line.
Yeah.
Maybe love does is, like, about being out on the other side of the line.
I think that's beautifully said.
Thanks.
It is... I hope listeners today, you know, and I hope if they haven't gotten the book, that they get the book. When you read stories like that, it helps you to become unafraid. You realize that I'm sure there are 500 stories that Bob Goff could write in a book that would be, it didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I fell on my face, but in the midst of that, there are these great inspirational stories about how love changed things, about how he was changed by love. If we could just get out of being afraid of just mm-hmm. doing them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the heart of what he said. Just do it. Just go love people and see what happens.
I do like that. And I do, it makes, yeah. I mean, I can think of a million examples of how sometimes when I might love someone who doesn't really want to be loved or who, my love of them is misperceived by other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there does take a certain amount of courage to say, not everybody's okay with this, but including the person maybe you're loving.
Yeah.
But here I go.
We've talked about it before, and it would be interesting if people just, you know, it seems overwhelming to say, okay, that's it, I'm going to go do that. You know, I'm just going to love.
I'm going to love a witch doctor
in
Africa.
Now, right? I'm going to just stop having a... Just pick a day a week. Just pick 2 hours in one day a week and say, for these 2 hours, so this is the homework. Hello, listeners.
Mm.
The homework for us all this week and in the weeks to come is I'm going to pick some period of time. If it's just overwhelming to think I'm going to live my entire life like that, just pick 2 hours of time on a particular day and say, I am just going to be about loving people no matter where I run into them or what they're doing, and I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to see what kind of stories come out of that.
And I'm always telling both students and children and adults alike that you figure out what you have in your hand. Maybe you have a car that works. Maybe you have $20. Maybe you have a donut store around that corner. Maybe you have a lawnmower that works. Like, what do you have? And then who do you want to reach out to? And then just bridge them. It doesn't have to be all that complicated.
No, it does not have to be hard. It can be, like we've said before many, many times, it could be the person next door. It could be the person you run into at the grocery store. It could be someone, I mean... Love doesn't, you don't have to travel far for people to be able to respond to you loving them.
What's the last book you read all the way to the end? You know, I told him I read every page of it, and there's not a lot of books I read all the way to the end.
I'm with you. I don't read a lot to the end. I read this one to the end.
Uh-huh. Let's name another one.
Donald Miller's book.
Yeah.
You know, a million miles in 1,000 years. I read that all the way to the end.
Yeah, it's that same principle. There's a story for you to be had right now on this Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so, like, I want the story. I don't want the map. I don't want the fight with a family member. I don't want anything. I want the story.
That's exactly right. And those kind of books, when you read them, again, at least for me, and I know for you, it can't help but inspire us to say, okay, how can I, it just causes you to look at the world differently. Instead of just a set of things I need to get through, is every opportunity is an opportunity to be a part of a bigger story than the one that we would design for ourselves.
Extravagant love. I mean, I love that he bought a walkie-talkie for his,
isn't that cool?
Aging, dying neighbor.
Yeah, like, and it's so right. When you're talking a walkie-talkie, it's like you're a little kid again.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it's just thinking differently. People don't think about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I could buy a walkie-talkie.
Yes.
I could learn to play the cello.
Yes.
Right?
It makes me think of the story. My dad, when he was sick and dying of cancer, had a friend who was a doctor who came and just made a house call with us. It wasn't his area of specialty, but we wanted a consult on a Saturday morning. And, of course, he wouldn't take no compensation. So my dad wrote this big letter to this guy's mother, who was like 80-some years old, and just said, I want to tell you about a house call that your son made to me today. And that was worth far more than the whatever per hour charge he would have ever...
$100 or a couple hundred bucks.
I don't care how old you are. The mama likes to know her son's still doing the right thing. You know what I mean? And it does take a little bit of, like, out-of-the-box thinking to really realize how you can to reach people.
Yeah. We just have to get over, like Bob said, the fear of doing those things, that we might be embarrassed or we might say something that we shouldn't have said. And it's almost Valentine's Day. If you needed an excuse, you got one.
That's right, baby.
Right? And so
learn the cello by watching a YouTube video. I mean, it's be inspired.
You could do that. You got to know what people love and what sort of gets them, and then do those things, right? A note to somebody's mom when they're 87 about how great their son is.
I mean, it's glorious.
Yeah.
It makes me think, though, also that we just got to be students of each other so that we are paying attention, you know, how we all just want to have our life eyewitnessed. Yeah. When you do extravagant and kind and thoughtful and out of the box and whimsical gestures of love, you're saying, hey, I see you, and I care about what I see.
Yep. Well, we've made it through the month of January.
Hmm.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, 11 more months this year.
11 more months this year to find something cool to do.
I can't believe it.
Right? So we're already through January.
What stories does February hold for us and our listeners?
Isn't that kind of cool?
Hopefully
next week they will join us and we'll hear more stories, and they'll be living a life that's full of stories. We hope that when you listen to the show, that you'll be inspired to do something, and today is one of those days.
Love does.
Love does. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. As I mentioned earlier, over 500,000 downloads of our show. We've only been on the air, 7 months or something like that? 500,000 people have gone and downloaded the show. And if you like this show or any of the shows that you've heard and you think somebody else might need to listen to it or be inspired by it or any of those things, BethGuckenberger.com is where you would go, and you can download this show and any other. We hope you will. We hope you have a great week. We're glad that you spent this Saturday morning with us. Beth, we'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
And until then, you guys have a great week. And
Día de Amor y Amistad.
Yes, that too. This is Real Life Real Talk. We'll see you at the same time next week, 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Until then, see ya.
Adios.